from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It just takes some time, but welcome back here on 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. Hour and 58 minutes, and then it is the weekend, baby.
Hell yeah, baby. Let's go.
And then we're 5 days away from a four-day weekend.
That's right. Four-day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Labor Day coming up here in the next week.
Still be three days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
you count
Monday?
Friday as a day. I see what you're
that's
doing.
Fair. That's fair.
Okay. All right. In our world, yes, a little bit. Three and three-quarter days weekend.
We'll all be checking out by then. 913-586-7965. We love Fridays. We love you, the listener. So if you want to chime in, this is another time for you to call in. We like to engage with our audience because not a lot of people do that anymore, and we still think it's fun to do. And I was searching on my phone the other day for topics or content, and I came across this old video on X or whatever you guys
still
call it.
Formerly Twitter.
Yeah. And I thought this was interesting. Because this is back when ESPN actually did stories and, you know, did a lot of good stuff on their network. And this is one of those remember wins. And I want to know which side of the fence you were on. Now, Mac was probably negative 18 at this point. But I remember this was something that really turned Kansas City around on themselves. And I'll stop talking and let you know what I'm talking about.
But back to the Chiefs. They've got a dilemma on their hands. What do you do at quarterback, Marty Schottenheimer? Go back to season starter Elvis Gerbach when he gets medically cleared, or keep riding the hot hand of Rich Gannon? Mark Malone, what do you think Marty Schottenheimer will do?
That's a tough question. I know it's one that Marty has struggled with recently, no doubt about it. I know he's made calls to both Don Shula and old friend Bill Cowher, both of whom have faced similar decisions. You know, you go back, it was Shula in 72 with Earl Morrill and Bob Greasy. Cowher most recently in 92. Bubby Brister had replaced an injured O'Donnell, led the team into the playoffs. O'Donnell was healthy enough to start in the playoffs, so Cowher started him. O'Donnell played horribly, and the Steelers lost in the first round 24-3. Now, a lot will depend, I think, on not only Gannon's performance and the health of Gerbach, but how Gerbach looks not only this coming week against New Orleans, but how he looks in the bye week. He is a better quarterback, Mike, there's no doubt about it, than Rich Gannon. The problem is how the team responds and whether or not Gerbach can play up to his standards when he comes back off of the bench.
And we heard Mort just say on SportsCenter, Marty's still waiting for that medical clearance from Elvis Gerbach. You know, if Kansas City does win that game that Mark alluded to against New Orleans, it forces Denver to a wild card slot, and the great season means just one home playoff game.
Bussenheimer, Wassenheimer, Schottenheimer, Boca. Marty's game plan is the baddest, that's no joker. No go fixing, not a thing if it's not broke.
That kind of was the Schottenheimer polka right there in a nutshell, wasn't it?
Kick it off and send it sailing through the clouds. Gertz's got your special teams, go do your brother proud. Fellows, don't be showing off, you might excite the crowd. The ref will drop his hanky if he thinks that we're too loud. Keeping football to the max of such a rowdy bunch. Derek O'Neill, deal and deal and eat the QB slunch. Collins will start and make it harder with the bunch. Oh, happy day, a busted play is more than just a hunch. Bussenheimer, Bussenheimer, Schottenheimer, Boca. Marty's game plan is the baddest, that's no joker. No go fixing, not a thing if it's not broke. Bussenheimer, Bussenheimer, Schottenheimer, Boca.
Okay.
It's over.
Yeah, thank you.
It stopped. It could have kept going, I guess.
No,
somebody
God.
Cut it off after a minute 25. I don't know why there's not more of that.
I understand why. But do you remember that controversy?
Well, I was in college when that controversy was going on.
I was very young. I think that's, what, 96, 97, somewhere around there?
Yeah. And middle of the college age for me.
I remember my dad.
Shuttled twofer into the evening.
My dad was so pissed they went with Gerbach.
Well, I think everybody seemingly was except for Marty, right? Like, usually... Yeah. I would say the coaches kind of have a better feel of the situation of what's going on, right? Like, you defer to them. They're there every day. We're fans. We're not, right? We're also very fanatical, because that's what a fan is. And so usually you defer to the head coach and you say, okay, you got a better feel of the situation. That to me was a major mistake by Marty, but not also by Marty, by the fans feeling that way. You talk to guys on that team that, you know, were on that team and he did that, and they're still ticked off. Like, I talked to my guy Mark Collins a lot about that, and Mark is still mad like 30 years later that they made that move and they put, you know, Elvis Gerbach into that playoff game instead of Rich Gannon, because as Marcus told the story to me before, the game plan all week was for Rich Gannon to play. And then at the end they flipped it and they kind of pulled an okie doke on you and they put Elvis Gerbach in as the starting quarterback. And the rest of the team is like, what in the hell are we doing here? Right? Mm. Like, you know, we're ready to go with Rich Gannon. And Rich Gannon is the last successful Raiders quarterback. I mean, he's the guy who took them to the Super Bowl in 2002. So it was a big time mistake by Marty Schottenheimer. However, you could play this card, and I know some people would want to say, I don't want to change anything because it led us to Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, you could go back at all those annals. What if Rich Gannon does have success? And, you know, who knows what happens here in Kansas City? But they made the wrong choice. It never should have been Elvis Gerbach. Rich Gannon was always the better quarterback, but Marty, for whatever reason, just didn't want to do that and didn't want to take that chance. And that's part of the reason why Marty never won the big one, is because he never took that chance and never took that opportunity and was never bold. He was conservative, and conservative doesn't win when you're coaching a football team.
I mean, he had a play style named Marty Ball.
I know. Right. Yeah.
Somebody says, I was a Gerbach apologist. He had some good moments. He has a 500 yard game from the, if it was 97, I was 13. I think it was like 97 or 98.
Somewhere in that time frame, mid to late 90s, you know.
Somebody on the 816, ugh, that trip down memory lane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me at 11 years old going, Rich Gannon is way better, Mom. We go to Jared in Raytown going down memory lane. Do you remember, or what's your story with Gannon versus Gerbach?
Well, with Gerbach and Rich Gannon, I'm unfortunately only 26. So he wasn't really around for that, but I got the Tyler Palkos and the Damon Yurts for the time.
Mm.
So it definitely changed me around. Made me humble watching the game last night. You know, you kind of forget that you have Michael Jordan in a football jersey. So it makes you really humbled by the experience. And then, you know, tonight I'm going to my 31st Kansas City Royals game. So it's really pumped. And then I've always listened to you guys in the morning. And then crown jewel as Dusty Likens, I have a couple of buddies that we listen to you. And you definitely sound like one of the boys, so I appreciate you guys letting me call and talk a little bit of sports, and congratulations on the promotion and to the FM radio.
Appreciate it, Jared. Have fun at the game tonight.
31st game this year, or 31st game in life?
I hope it's this year.
31 games this year, man.
Hell yeah.
You're balling out.
No doubt about it. I do like that, though, that not around for, but that's what's so great about our show here, is how relatable this can be, because you and I both remember Gerbach. Jared and Mac, no idea. But you remember Brody Croyle, Damon Hewer.
But that, those were all bad quarterbacks. Like, Gannon and Gerbach were at least good,
really,
right?
Solid, kinda,
they were good quarterbacks. Palko and Croyle and Hewer and Todd worst. Collins.
And don't forget Tyler Thigpen.
And Thigpen. I mean, like, there was a bag of crap that was here for a while.
And that's what I love about that, is that no matter where you're from or who you are, Mac, Bob, Jared, Dusty, Jared's boys, you are all humbled by what you have now.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching the league today, and you watch teams that are like, well, I don't know who's going to start.
Right. Like, look, Daniel Pittsburgh's Jones on the screen right now. Yeah. Russell Wilson or...
Washed.
Justin Fields. I mean, they're both not good.
It's those tough.
Not good options, right? I mean, yeah, Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, who's now clearly age catching up with him because he can't stand training camp. It's too hard and all this kind of stuff. Like, there's a bunch of crap out there at the quarterback position. Yeah. And you know, we had a bunch of crap at the quarterback position for a very long time. Like, you do realize before Patrick Mahomes came into Kansas City,
yeah,
you couldn't do a Mount Rushmore of Kansas City quarterbacks.
No, you had Dawson.
you had Len and you had Trent.
That's it. And Trent ain't even on there anymore.
No, he's on there. Okay. Len, Trent, Alex, and Patrick.
Okay.
Who's the fourth if it's not Trent?
Tyler Thigpen.
No.
David and Leewood, go ahead.
Brody Croyle's the fourth, I would say.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he had a good tree stand. Yeah. Okay, he's gone. Andy and Lee Summit, go ahead.
So I was in first grade when Gerbach and Gannon had their little quarterback controversy, and I would draw these pictures every day about the Chiefs and just draw the players and Broncos and all that. And I drew Gerbach and I drew Gannon, and I went up to my first grade teacher. I asked her, I'm like, how do you spell wussy? And I was gonna put that over the top of Gerbach, and she wouldn't tell me how to spell it. So,
well, you just gotta sound it out at that point in time, Andy.
Yeah. Apparently, so Catholic school, I guess they didn't want to do that for
well,
grade.
Probably not. No, probably not the good one to bring up there either.
Shout out Lee Summit, Andy. Oh, thanks for the phone call. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Remember when? God, I remember that like it was yesterday.
916-586-7965.
That's the number. We dive back into these Kansas City Royals because the riptide is officially at the shoreline for this Royals gauntlet of the rest of the season. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Missouri athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, it is your home for Kansas City sports. Love to talk to you today on a Friday. Get you set up for the weekend. God, I love Friday so much.
Fridays are wonderful. Friday. Get to speak to the Romeos today at 11:30. Hey, guys, got some hats for you for 96.5 The Fan. Going to pass out some hats at Romeo's today. Get ready. You know what Romeo's is, guys?
Nope.
Really Old Men Eating Out. It's a great organization. They meet every Friday. They hang out. They eat. They have guest speakers. You know who speaks to these guys?
Romeo Grinnell.
J.J. Piccolo shows up.
Wow.
Bob Fesco. John Sherman. They get everybody to show up. It's. I think Josh has actually joined the group now that he's retired. So I hope to see Josh there today over at Romeo's. Looking forward to speaking to those guys. I speak to most of them at the J every day anyway. So just, you know. But you're getting hats today, fellas. At least some of you are.
Okay. Hopefully 11 people don't show up.
Yeah.
I saw the sticky note. Speaking of important people and showing up in Kansas City, tonight the Royals kick off a 3-game series. They will also kick off a riptide of a 3-week gauntlet against great teams. Philadelphia, Cleveland, Minnesota, New York Yankees, Cleveland again, Pittsburgh, Minnesota again. Then it gets a little easier, I guess. Atlanta, San Francisco, however you want to look at that. Houston's in this realm as well. But the Phillies come in, a little bit of a struggling team. Michael Walk on the mound. Royals tonight are favorites, -135. The over-under in tonight's game is 9. But if there's ever a time to play a team that is a dominant team, it is when they are starting to slip. And Bob, you put a stat in there that since June 18th, the Philadelphia Phillies are 24-29 when they start off the season like 31-4.
Yeah, right. They started out in a blaze of fire.
Yeah.
And now they're maintaining the rest of the way, 5 games under 500 for the last 2 months. And, I know Philadelphia is considered a good team, but are they playing like a good team right now? And the answer to that question is unequivocally no. They're an under 500 team over the last 2 months. Taijuan Walker is their only starting pitcher that they've named for this series. He's pitching tonight with an ERA of close to 5.70. He's at 5.69. Nice. Which I like. So that's exciting. And so they've got an opportunity tonight to get a win against a team that is is currently struggling right now. And, you know, people are going to think, oh, my God, I can't believe you're going to say this. But I'm going to go ahead and on a limb, and I'm going to say the Royals are, I'm guaranteeing they're going to win the division, because I'm watching what's gone on with the rest of the division. And the Cleveland team is playing like just uninspired baseball right now. It's so bad their broadcasters are attacking them and how they can't get big hits. And they're wondering what's going on. Did you know the Cleveland baseball team was stranded in Milwaukee a couple of weeks ago? Or not, no, this 3 days ago before they went to New York, they were stranded. Like, their flight was supposed to leave at 5 p.m. from Milwaukee, and they didn't end up landing in New York till like 2 in the morning. So they're complaining about that. But what the interesting thing about that is that, you know, on the tarmac, the traveling secretary for Cleveland got off the plane, went to Culver's, got 60 Butterburgers and fries for everybody on the plane because they ran out of food. So they're all eating Culver's on the plane. And so that's kind of set them back a little bit. So some people are like this is baseball in a nutshell, right?
Right.
People are factoring that in as to why they're not playing good baseball right now. They're not playing good baseball right now because they're not getting the timely hits, and because what they're trying to do is really hard. Lead from wire to wire. It's hard to play consistent baseball the entire season. That's why if you're the Royals right now, you're looking around going, hey, we're playing some really good baseball right now. We're 7-3 in our last 10. We're playing inspired baseball right now. We're at home right now. Cleveland is not playing good baseball right now, and the Phillies aren't playing good baseball right now. Those are your next two opponents. I think by the time we're sitting here next week, Dusty, the Royals are in first place, and they're not looking back in this division.
There is a way that's very interesting that the American League and the American League Central, which has been one of the better divisions this year, Boston still hanging around. So the AL Central, the AL East, however you want to look at it, which is insane. Normally it's just the AL East runs supreme and does its thing every year. But there is a way to believe, which is insanely incredible, the way this season has gone for the Kansas City Royals. But, and we can dive in a little bit later on everything that why they and how they got to this point. But in 3 weeks from now, you could literally look at the season in a completely different, like a literally a different lens. And what I mean by that is the Yankees have a 4-game lead. They gained a game because nobody played yesterday other than Cleveland and New York when it comes to Minnesota and Kansas City. So they jump. The Yankees are the top team in the AL. They have a 4-game lead over everybody or over the Royals and the Twins. Next team is Baltimore. They're 2.5 game, whatever. You're 2 games out of your own division, which is what you want to win first. You're comfortably in the second spot of the wild card, tied with Minnesota, who, again, that's another check mark for another day when the Royals get into the Minnesota Twins. But now you're starting this sort of like big, heavy, you know, push towards the playoffs, and there's a lot of big giants in your way.
But I don't think the Giants are as big as we perceive them to be right
Maybe
now.
Maybe not. Giant, you know, the Yankees pretty big. They got
that's not for a while yet. I'm talking like our next two opponents, you know, Philly and Cleveland.
And I think at this point, there still should be considered giants until you can go, you know, David and Goliath, these guys, right? And this is a series where Philadelphia is one of the teams in the National League that's supposed to be good. They're supposed to win. They're supposed to get to this point. And there's a reason why Bryce Harper went there. He gave his time in Washington. Wanted to go win a championship, went to Philadelphia. Great dude, love Bryce Harper. We'll get into him a little bit as well. But the Royals were just supposed to be competitive. They weren't supposed to be out there kicking people's ass. And a lot of people would say, oh, well, yeah, the White Sox, it's not their fault they went 12-1. It's not their fault that that team was, you know, able to play that team 13 times. But this is one of those things where you can take the, they are supposed to be competitive to, they're a dangerous team. You had mentioned the pitching matchups. Tywan Walker tonight for the Philadelphia Phillies. Michael Wacha, experienced, award-winning playoff pitcher, World Series-winning pitcher, played against Philadelphia, multiple starts against Philadelphia, and then you parlay that with Brady Singer and Seth Lugo.
It's a great threesome.
You ought to win 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia, judging by the pitching matchups and judging by the records that you have at home. The other thing that's very interesting about this, which is a subpar story, is that this is a game that will be on national television on Saturday. MLB Network will have Philadelphia and Kansas City. Like you, I will watch for the audio because I want to hear how they talk about it. And I want to hear if this topic that we have today on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City is something they bring up on MLB Network. And there is a passing of a baton happening in Major League Baseball. And that passing of the baton is maybe the Royals are a team to be, you know, forced to maybe give a blank about. But also, Bobby Witt Jr. has ran up on the list of superstars. Now, I know Shohei Ohtani's in LA, and a lot of people love what he does. I know that Aaron Judge is in New York, and it's awesome what he's doing. But I feel like Bobby Witt Jr. is more so of the fans player, the traditional baseball follower and lover of the sports player, because he does more than those guys do. Now, you could be like, well, Ohtani pitches. Well, he hasn't pitched all year.
He's not pitching.
And he may never pitch again. I say that lightly. But again, it could be just like a reliever. But again, why would you let him pitch when he's going to be an MVP of the National League when he's just using his bat? But Bobby Witt Jr., Bryce Harper in the same stadium.
Because everybody in the Dodgers has had Tommy John surgery this year, and you need a pitcher. You know, like, it's bizarre.
That's fair.
You know?
And the thing about this is, outside of the main story, or the main plot line, which is Philadelphia, Kansas City, two playoff teams, two big forces to be reckoned with in baseball this late in the season, the subplot of this series could also be Bobby Witt Jr. versus Bryce Harper. Because Bryce Harper is a man, he's a dude, he's a great guy, he's fun. He was the prince that was promised. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. He was blowing kisses to a pitcher, hitting a home run in Las Vegas. Didn't go to high school. Went straight to the pros after being 18. Was, as is, and always will be as advertised. Bobby Witt Jr. is kind of in the same boat. He just wasn't as a polarizing or put out there athlete. But he was drafted out of high school, Gatorade National Player of the Year, got to the league, first ever opening day start, wins a game with a game-winning hit in the eighth inning, walk-off grand slam. He's an MVP caliber player, and he's a five-tool player, and he's doing everything that he was advertised for. And now there's a chance that if he can showcase his skill set against somebody like the Phillies and somebody like Bryce Harper, you're going to get Bryce Harper to react. They're going to interview him in post-game and say, what do you think about the kid over there, number seven for the Kansas City Royals? And we'll hear Bryce Harper, who's not an old man by any means, been in the league long enough, and you will start to see what the stardom of Bobby Witt Jr. is if, in fact, they do kind of do business well against the Phillies and Bryce Harper has some sort of something to say.
He's old enough where I remember interviewing him when he was with the Nationals now. I mean, like that's how long Bryce Harper has been around. You start to look back and it goes so fast. Like, right. How long has Bryce Harper been in baseball? 10, 12 years now, right? Like, it's been a long time, it seems like, that he's been around Major League Baseball. And I think when you start to look at, you know, what he's accomplished over his career, clearly a ton, but you mentioned Aaron Judge and what he's doing right now, and Bobby Witt and what he's doing right now, and what Shohei Ohtani's doing right now. It really is a shame that this is not being discussed more at a national level of how great a baseball season we have going on and how great these individuals are. Like, almost every fan base in baseball right now is engaged as to what's going on. Yet you turn on ESPN and you see, you know, Summer Basketball League highlights. Like, that's all they show on ESPN is summer basketball. And so I don't understand why we're not talking more about the greatness that is Bobby Witt and the greatness that is Aaron Judge and the greatness that is Shohei Ohtani. I know baseball has become a provincial sport and we only really care about our own players and whatnot, but these guys are having magical seasons, fellas. I mean, these guys are having seasons like we got excited about in 1998 watching McGuire and Sosa do their thing. Aaron Judge is going to hit 60 homers again. That's 2 years in a row, and for the first 27 games, he wasn't doing well, and there were people who wanted Aaron Judge out of New York in April that were complaining about Aaron Judge, and he's about to have his second consecutive season with 60 home runs. Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting 350 and is a legit five-tool player as we've seen in baseball in quite some time. Shohei Ohtani is mashing 450-foot home runs every single night out in Los Angeles, and we're talking about the backup quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers more than we are about the great seasons that these guys are having. And so this is a good weekend for the Royals to kind of showcase who they are, because the East Coast will be paying attention. It will be on national TV tomorrow. And you're right about the Bryce Harper thing, because he's going to watch Bobby Witt Jr. play, and you know he's going to have some kind of superlatives to talk about after the game if Bobby Witt does something spectacular. And then people are like, look at what Bryce Harper's saying about Bobby Witt Jr. So this is a big weekend. But I also wish, like, baseball would find a way to get itself back into the national scene. Maybe that comes with allowing the guys to play in the Olympics in a couple of years. You get back on the national scene, because there's a lot of great things going on in baseball right now that are getting covered up and people aren't talking about because we're worried about summer basketball. So this is a big weekend, man. I want to see Bobby Witt do good. I think the Royals are going to take care of business this weekend. And like we said earlier, since June 19th, June 18th, the Philadelphia Phillies are 500. They're looked at and considered a great team, but they're not playing like a great team. The Royals are playing better baseball right now than both Philly and Cleveland. And for my money, that's why I believe the Royals are winning this division now.
And a lot of people could say, well, what about Minnesota? We can worry about Minnesota when Minnesota gets here.
Yeah, right. Right? Right.
And I understand, and I'm with you, text line and listeners. Like, I understand what Minnesota's done. Look, Minnesota's kicked the Royals' ass since I've been 7 years old. There's no secret.
Right.
I remember being in college watching Jim Thome hit 480-foot tanks as a 40-year-old in Minnesota. Look, I understand. We'll get there when we get there. This is about Philadelphia this weekend, because that's what you have to do with playoff pushes.
Like, we have to stop thinking Philadelphia is some kind of big dog on the block, because they're not. They're a wounded animal right now. I mean, our sibling station, WIP, is asking their listeners this morning, do you believe the Phillies have lost their magic? I mean, the city feels down on that team. It's a lot different than when we did our baseball trip at the end of May, beginning of June, and that city was abuzz with the Phillies. Like, it was crazy with the way that they were acting about the Phillies. And now they're like, oh my God, it's starting to slip away. It's hard to maintain greatness for the entire season. Philly's still making the postseason.
Right.
But as of right now, you have an opportunity to play a Philadelphia team that's trying to figure out who the F they are. And they don't know who they are right now. And they're struggling. You got to keep a struggling team struggling. Keep a losing team losing. And the track record would say, over the last 2 months, the Phillies are a losing team with five games under 500. So go kick them in the nads and take care of business.
The Royals are two games out of the division. They're tied with the Twins and two back from Baltimore with a two-game lead in the wild card, four games behind the New York Yankees for the best record in baseball. To say that we should have seen this coming is a bit arrogant, and I've never given a rip to be arrogant anyway. That's a Zach Bryan lyric there that I stole. Ain't done. And there was a little bit of foreshadowing to see why the Royals might be where they're at. And I understand that in years past, people are like, well, you know, I was here when they got Juan Gonzalez and we were promised to be a good team. I was here when they got Jose Guillen, or when they had, at one point, the outfield was Jermaine Dye, Carlos Beltran, and Johnny Damon.
No pitching. Zero.
Zero. Like, probably like Dan Reichert on the mound or something like that.
Dan Reichert was, I like Dan, but he was a diabetic and smoked cigarettes. Like, he never stood a chance to have success.
Mm.
Got to take care of your body if you're a professional athlete.
Yeah. Can you get, like, secondhand diabetes if you eat candy cigarettes?
I think so, okay. Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy once asked that. But early on in the season, a lot of people, of course, Bobby Witt Jr. got the contract. Royals went out and got a couple of starting pitchers and really bolstered their roster, right? Added Hunter Renfroe, which at the time a lot of people were, like, ready to give up on him. And he's been a good piece for this team. And everyone at MLB Network and ESPN and Fox and all these people said the Royals had the best offseason of any team. They went and found exactly what they didn't have and rehashed it and patched it up and made it something different. Seems a lot similar to your guy, Brett Veach, and the Kansas City Chiefs, right? J.J. Piccolo, great offseason. But he parlayed that with a fantastic trade deadline.
Yeah.
Jeff Passan, who is ESPN's baseball insider, says the best trade deadline performance this year is the Kansas City Royals. Since July 30th, Lucas Irsig, Bob Fesco's guy, zero ERA, 10 innings pitched, four hits, zero walks, 14 strikeouts. You went and found your closer. You went and got your 2024 Wade Davis. I will die on that hill. That's who they want him to be, and that's who he's shown to be. Zero ERA, 10 innings pitched, four hits, zero walks, 14
Ks. He's been fantastic.
Sounds a lot like Wade Davis's line. Paul DeJong, late addition, got him from a busted White Sox team. In fact, got him when he was actually in the dugout across the way, just walked over that same day.
Always fun to do that.
Slash line 286, 345, 48, three home runs, and he's played pretty damn good defense at third.
He's done nice, yeah.
Michael Lorenzen, the guy with the biceps, 199 ERA over 22 and two-thirds innings, pretty solid. Not even going to be a starter when you get in the playoff push, going to be a big bullpen piece. If Brady Singer gets roughed up for two or three runs, you know, in the third or fourth inning, guess who's coming in? Michael Lorenzen in like the fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Michael Lorenzen's going to be awesome in the playoffs out of the bullpen.
Damn right,
man.
Daddy,
he's going to be fantastic.
And the other teams that he says did well, but not as well as Kansas City, Los Angeles Dodgers, San Diego Padres, Arizona Diamondbacks. One of those teams was representing the World Series last year. The other two are always World Series favorites. The Royals trump both of them when it comes to the trade deadline. So not only did J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman win free agency, they won the trade deadline. They're four games out of the top spot in the AL. They're two games behind Cleveland in the Central. They're tied with Minnesota for the second wild card spot, and they both have a 3.5 game lead on Boston. They have a 7.5 game over Seattle and a 5.5 game over I believe, who is it? I think just
Tampa is Tampa, in there. Yeah. Tampa's in the Tampa's not really in the mix anymore. So, and Seattle's done like dinner, man. They're out.
So to say I'm arrogant is fine, but to have the take to say, are we really surprised after watching the trade deadline and the preseason free agency that the Royals aren't in this situation? Was I expecting Seth Lugo to be a Cy Young? No. Was I expecting Cole Reagans to be as dominant as he is? Yes, I was. Was I expecting Michael Walker to be the veteran of the staff to kind of keep everybody together? Yes, I was.
Not like this, though. But I mean, not, this is a sub-3.5 ERA.
Not with the numbers. I was more so as a leader standpoint. Yeah. I thought he'd be the guy that bring them all together because you needed that.
But you also need those leaders to produce right. as well. Nobody saw this coming with Lugo. Nobody saw this coming with Michael Walker.
And the other thing that's great, too, is that you found your click in your lineup. You have Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquino, Salvador Perez, MJ Melendez, Hunter Renfroe, all those guys, Michael Massey even at times, they're all kind of meshing in the middle, and you've got 90-plus RBIs for Vinny Pasquantino, 90 for Bobby. Salvador Perez is right there as well. Who'd have thought at the end of the year your 2, 3, and 4 sitters would have 25 home runs each, 90-plus RBIs, and be a playoff-pushing contender? Not only that, but might be, at the end of it, all said and done with the record, with the schedules coming out, might have the best record in the American League.
Well, and that's why I'm picking them to win the division right now. I've watched enough baseball and sports over my 47 years to realize what's going on here right now. You've got a baseball club that is playing good baseball, that is hot, that believes in themselves. And when you believe in yourself, 90% of the battle is already won. You drive to the ballpark in the morning and you have a belief that you're going to win, chances are you're going to win that game. And that's where the Royals are right now. When they get in their Saabs and Volkswagens or whatever they drive, and they're headed out to the ballpark today, and they're blaring 96.5 The Fan, listening to Binkley later on today, and they're rolling out to the ballpark, they're believing in themselves that they're winning this game tonight. Mm. When the Philadelphia Phillies get on that bus at the Fairmont down on the plaza, and they're riding that bus out to the ballpark, they're believing that they're going to get their ass kicked tonight, and they're realizing, like, man, what are we doing wrong? Why aren't we finding ways to win? The Royals are driving out there with a clear head thinking, we're going to win this game tonight. We got a great opportunity. We got Waka going tonight. Taiwan Walker's going for them. We can beat him around a little bit. We're playing good baseball. We've got the confidence. We got the swagger. We're at home. Philadelphia's going to be getting off that bus going, God, we're under 500 by 5 games in the last 2 months. We're trying to hang on to this thing. The Mets are right in our rearview mirror. We just got a rough series with the Braves taken care of. And now we got to go play this Royals team, man. Like, what's going on with us? There's a lot of noise with Philadelphia. There's even more noise with Cleveland right now, who had a nice lead of, what were they up, 6 games a week ago or something? And now they're only up 2. They're going back to their crib tonight to face the Rangers going, my God, I don't know, man. We just got our teeth kicked in by the Yankees. He's like, they're not feeling good about themselves. The Royals are the one team that you know is feeling epic about themselves right now. Winning 7 of their last 10. They feel like they can do no wrong. They're on top of the world. They've got that confidence. This team is winning the division. Cleveland is fading. The Royals are going on full steam right now, and everybody else around them is going to drop like flies. The Royals are going to win this division because they're playing the best baseball late in the season.
You love to see it.
Yeah.
You really, really do. You love to see it. You also love to see, coming up here in just a little bit, the contracts that get signed by the Chiefs and the waves that are coming. You just saw just heard our Royals content, baseball coverage on 96.5 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Coming up on the other side, we will dive into what that Creed Humphrey contract was. Plus, don't forget, 9 o'clock, we get to talk to you again, the listener. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Just want to tell you, Dusty, from the 515, Bob got me just pumped up about the Royals. I just bet 500 on them to win the division, LFG. All right. Do I get 10% when they win it? Scratch me off a 50.
Do you have to pay 10% if you lose it?
That was my next question.
No. No, but if they win it, you weren't thinking of it. I gave you the idea. Do I get? No, I'm kidding. I hope you win. And let me know when you cash that ticket. Or just hit payout on your phone.
I think, what is it, 15 to 1 right now to win their division? I'm going to go to DraftKings.
15 to 1 is it? What's the FanDuel app got? We got 15 to 1.
I'd have to look. This is just really bad radio right now, but there's got to be futures, right?
I can do it. You keep going.
Yeah. I don't know. Either way, Mac will get into it. Royals-Phillies tonight, first pitch, 7:10. Vern's show starts at 6 o'clock. Be sure to listen into that. Well, Bobby,
I bet Vern's fired up for this series.
Bobby Witt Jr. is plus 750 to win the MVP. I know that. And Aaron Judge is minus 2,000, if that gives you any sort of inclination of what Vegas thinks about the MVP. So it's been a nice
Royals
run.
Royals are plus 550 to win the division. Cleveland still at minus 165 on FanDuel, and Minnesota plus 200.
There it is.
So plus 550, put in 500 on that.
All right, let's see here. 500 to win $2,750.
All right. So you're looking for $270 if they win.
No, I'm just looking for 10% of the bet. That's it. I'll just take 10% of the bet. Yeah.
Plus 320 in May is what I got. There you go, baby. Keep riding those bets. But
plus 320 in May, and it's plus 550 now.
I don't know. Maybe they did a different site than FanDuel. Anyway, I want to bring this up because this happened 17 seconds before a kickoff last night. Also, you texted us last night, what are you watching? I'm still trying to understand the kickoffs.
Yeah.
Which it looks like Harrison Butker's trying to find anywhere he can land the ball between the 5 and the 1.
That's what it seems right? like, yeah. I still think the kickoff's going to be out. But then you get it at the 40.
That's fair.
You know, if it doesn't land between the goal line and the 20, which we did see, yeah. I think that was part of the game last night or something I was watching, they give it to you at the 40. So you just can't boom it out. You set the opposition up. So it's a big penalty if you don't get it in that landing zone or that landing strip or whatever they're calling it these days.
Okay. I'm not, this isn't after hours, Dusty. This is the morning show. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. Where
I don't
we are
understand
gonna,
what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Damn it, Bob. Creed Humphrey gets the contract last night. You got to be right next to it when it happens. And Creed Humphrey becomes the highest paid center in football. Probably, maybe not probably, is considered the best center in football. He's the Salvi to Lugo. He's the Salvi to Cole Reagans. He's the Salvi to Patrick Mahomes. He's the battery mate. Those two guys have their connection. You knew this was going to happen. We had this discussion early on, I think, when I was filling in for Kling when he was out of town, or for you when you were out of town in Italy. And I remember when we were talking about there were four key signings that had to happen this offseason. It was Chris Jones, Harrison Butker, Creed Humphrey, and Trey Smith. I put it in that order, plus there was a fifth with Nick Bolton. We put it in that order because that's the way the order has gone when it comes to signings. Chris Jones got his payday early on. Harrison Butker got locked up like about two weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And then Creed Humphrey last night, there are two men left standing. One of them, I think, will be standing alone. I don't think they both get signed. I know people have said, well, the salary cap's going to go up and franchise tags. You're not franchise tagging Trey Smith. I don't believe so. Maybe there's a chance you do.
No, I don't think you franchise tag a guard.
No. I don't think you franchise tag a middle linebacker.
No.
Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. I wouldn't. But somebody's the odd man out, and there are two storylines that go with this. One, the business is tough, but the ones that excel in the tough decisions continue to see themselves be successful, and there's no track record that would deny that towards the Kansas City Chiefs and what Brett Veach has been able to do with the salary cap and the roster. The other storyline is, what's more important to you? Outside of I want to sign them both, that's every Chiefs fan's dream. And maybe it happens. And if it does,
and it could.
And I'll come back on this microphone and say, I was wrong. But to me, the obvious signing is Trey Smith, because he protects your franchise's $500 million quarterback more than what Nick Bolton can protect as the middle linebacker. That's just IMO.
Yeah, no, I think if you're comparing the two and you can only do one, then obviously it's Trey Smith, right? Because he is, as you mentioned, the protector of Patrick Mahomes. That makes a lot of sense. I don't know that just because you sign one doesn't mean you can sign the other. The goal all along, 13 months ago, as we've kind of talked about, was to get L'Jarius Sneed signed, get Nick Bolton signed, get Trey and Cray, whatever you want to call it.
What's
them.
In that water bottle?
Yeah, right. I mean, my God, like it's 9 o'clock. I still got to go speak to the Romans here in a minute.
Put a little
right?
ripple in there.
But that was their game plan all along. Then the Chris Jones situation happened. So that kind of put a wrench into everything. Obviously, L'Jarius Sneed is the odd man out. He went away. But I believe Nick Bolton is wanting to play out this year to kind of see where he is at the end of the season. Mm. And I don't blame him for that. You know, you bet on yourself. I think that's a cool thing. It doesn't mean both of those guys can't get signed, you know, going into the offseason or even into the beginning of the season. I wouldn't be shocked if Trey Smith has a deal done before the regular season kicks off. And then we're just talking about, you know, Bolton going, you know, and trying to get his cash. And if Bolton hits the free agent market, I don't think he's back here in Kansas City. But that's, again, that's just me speculating on where it is right now, because they played well without Bolton last year. I don't think you play as well without, you know, Creed Humphrey or Trey Smith along your offensive line.
Something that I was thinking about with the Creed contract that I thought was cool is that I think the Chiefs have the three best, quote-unquote, field generals in the league. We already had the best head coach. We have by far the best quarterback. The Chiefs now have locked up the best field general in the line, you know, assessing protections and blitzes and communication there with Patrick and the rest of those guys. I mean, to have the three best who are taking care of the offense and assessing, hey, here's the big plan, here's how we attack this defense and this scheme, that's massive.
You love to see it. That's what happens when, and again, I had a buddy text me last night, and he was like, surely they'll sign both Trey Smith and Nick Bolton.
And they could.
And I said, possibly.
Yeah.
But also, the other thing you have to look at is, look where Brett Veach drafted. Like, look where people got drafted.
And that's, that you know, as good as Brett Veach is at drafting, Dusty, that really does come back and hurt him. Because if you're Clark Hunt, you can just say, why do I need to pay this guy? You just draft superstars. So go out there and hit another home run for me in the draft, right? Like, and I could see, you know, potentially him, Clark Hunt, that is, doing something like that. Like, you know what? I don't want to pay Nick Bolton. I don't want to scratch that check. Mm. What I want to do is allow you to go out there and draft somebody in the fifth round that's going to be just as good or better for a lot less money.
Or find another Drew Tranquil who we're paying, what, six and change a year, and you're going to have to pay Bolton over double that?
Yeah.
Easily double that.
I think that it's easier to go get a middle linebacker in Spag's system than it is to go get a right guard to kind of figure out what Mahomes' antics are as a quarterback. But, he's still going to be improvisational for the next 3 to 4 years until he becomes just the drop back, step back, hose it over the middle all game, every game. But again, look at the drafts, look at the business. There's a reason Dorsey's not here and Brett Veach is here. There's a reason there are trophies in your Chiefs Kingdom Hall of Fame and there weren't before.
Right.
So just sit back, relax, and expect a Trey Smith signing to be coming in the next, I don't know, upcoming days. That's just my prediction. Vesco and Dusty, brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented IQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. 913-586-7965. We want to hear from you. We did this earlier. Those of you that are in your car now or those of you that are starting to tune in, call us up. Who would you add in their prime? Anybody in the NFL's prime, who would you put on this Chiefs roster for a three-peat run? 913-586-7965. What player in their NFL prime are you adding to this Chiefs roster this year for a three-peat? It's Bob Fesco. It's Mac Morey. I'm Dusty Likens. You are listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.